She's winding up. She's getting to second, but Pride of Jenny at the 200. My goodness, 15 in front. Declan Bates goes for the whip, riding a ride out. There's no need. This is a demolition job. Pride of Jenny in the Queen Elizabeth Stakes. My, oh, my.
G'day, punters. Welcome back to another episode of Triple J Racing Weekly. We didn't have a show last weekend, and Bryce's been missing since the Brisbane Lions won the AFL Grand Final a couple of weeks ago. I think he's been celebrating a fair bit up there north of the border. But we got him back this week, and hopefully we can find plenty of winners. How are you going up there, mate? And how long did you celebrate that Grand Final for?
Yeah, good. Thanks, mate. Oh, look, I was stoked. I was 21 years of pain watching watching us go from pretty mediocre to very close last year, and yeah, to get it done was so good. Actually, ironically, I had to DJ that night, so and it was where in a venue where I can't actually drink on the job. So, right. But yeah, look, it was good, mate. I walked around the Brizzy streets late at night, and it was heaving. Everyone was happy. It actually bucketed down here that night, so it probably wasn't as busy as it should have been. But yeah, big win, mate, and big win by the Panthers. I was playing the rooftop, and we had over half a thousand people up there. It was insane. And yeah, the Panthers are a bit of a dynasty, aren't they? They're crazy.
I thought you were about to say half a million there, and I thought you must have been bloody DJing at the Panthers Leagues Club up there. It looked like you couldn't move there. But yeah, no, what a, I know that this is a racing podcast, but absolute perfection. Those Panthers have been for a number of years. And I think someone said the other day, Luai and Cleary, as a halves partnership, they've played 90 games together and won 78. That's just absolutely phenomenal. So, yeah, but it was a really enjoyable game to watch. And, mate, on that note, obviously the AFL's finished, the NRL's finished, and now it's basically getting right into horse racing season over the Spring Carnival. So, really looking forward to tuning in. And the races over the next sort of 10 to 12 weeks are absolutely outstanding. On the weekend, we saw the first two-year-old race of the season, the Breeders' Plate for the males and the Jim Crack Stakes for the filly fillies. Obviously, Ole Kirk produced a couple of nice horses there, with King Kirk winning the Breeders and Ole running second to Belle Mercy in the fillies race. I'm just wondering if you had any horses to follow out of those two races, mate, or what you thought of them, things like that.
Yeah, I thought King Kirk was good. I've always was quite a fan of Ole, so I'm good to see the sire represent. Yeah, I'd be keen to follow it out of that. I was a bit surprised, 850 about it. It was quite a big drifter, but yeah, it was a nice win.
Really good win, and I was surprised by the price of North England, who I was, another one, I was just touching base with you before the show started about how many seconds I got last weekend, but two fillies I wanted to follow out of the Jim Crack was mainly Tubacara, but Tubacara and Memo. Tubacara was obviously absolutely squeezed out of it about the 300, lost all momentum. Had to regroup and savage the line. I thought she was only just getting warm late. I really like her. I think she's going to eat up the 1,200 metres. I think she's a slipper horse, able to relax. And I think the way that she trialled leading into that first race on the weekend, they were actually training her to be ridden quiet, go through the gaps and hit the line. Unfortunately, Tommy Sherry didn't find the gaps on the weekend, but that's two-year-old racing for you. They've got to learn how it all works and things like that. But She should have run second with absolutely no momentum there in that tough run. So I thought she was outstanding. And then Memo was just 3 to 4 wide at the rear of the field, kept coming, savaged the line. And it's very hard to do that in these early two-year-old races. Usually you want to be on the speed, out of trouble. So I thought they were two to follow, mate. And just quickly, Giga Kick, I was really hot on him on the weekend. I thought he had his chance to really knuckle down, step up, get back into the Everest talk. I thought he was a little bit disappointing. Have you got any thoughts on Giga Kick or any horses that you're sort of keen to tip listens into heading into the Everest? It's only a couple of weeks away now and really exciting.
Yeah, I think when we first spoke about Giga's first up run, it was either just hasn't come back near as good or, I just don't think it's come back near as good. And I did say that it probably won the right Everest. It was probably the right year to be a bit of a star, but it's disappointing it's not quite as back to its best. I don't think it's racing as near as good as it was this time last year. So yeah, Bit disappointing there. I think Bella's flying. I mean, one of the most honest and underrated runners we've got. It's just remarkable how consistent she is, and I think she should have won. And yeah, it was a huge run yet again. So I really think the market's probably, yeah, the gravitation with Iwishowin and Bella is probably fair. There's a lot of young up and comers, but I think I'll be back in Bella, mate. I just reckon I know she's sort of $250, $3 to place in all in markets, and I just can't see how she won't run top three if she stays healthy.
Oh yeah, miss consistency, Bella Nipotina. I thought, that first start running, you did mention it on the podcast about gear kick and whether he's come back. And I gave him those first couple of runs. He had a nice trial, and I thought it was D-Day the other day. I just don't think he's the same horse. And at the end of the day, he had the perfect run in transit. He was clear at the right time. He just didn't attack the line like he usually does. He was smacked by Bella Nipotina. Airman won the race. He's a really nice horse, but his last win was over Watagos and Dynamic Impact. So, it was a disappointing performance. In terms of the Everest, I'm still trying to work it all out at the moment, but I think I'm going to go with one of the younger horses this year. Probably a 3-year-old, I imagine. But we'll talk about that one next week, mate. Rose Hill this weekend, good four, rails out 3 meters. We've obviously got a number of horses to talk about at Rose Hill, and then we'll run through a couple of tips at Caulfield as well. Most selections this week are from yourself, mate, so you'll have to kick us back off with a couple of results there. But I'm not even going to bother talking to you about the track. We think it's going to be on pace, dry weather, 3 meter rail, no rain throughout the week. We think it's going to be on pace. The first race is a 1400 meter midway over, sorry, 1400 meter benchmark 72 midway. Geez, I'm a bit rusty after the long weekend bucks party I had. Had about 1,000 beers down there. But you like one in the first, mate? Who do you like?
Yeah, I'm gonna back two here. They've sort of all got the same form around the favourite. So Trees, which you were keen on last start, ran well, or Trees, and then Monte Kate, which I tipped as well, and quite recently. I'm just keen to back them both each way. No real knock on Alabama State, who's racing well with a good draw, but there's not a whole lot between these, and Monte Kate did beat it, and it's $10. So I'm just going to go a bit of value, mate. And I mean, K-Mac's on Alabama State, so I'm not his number one fan, but nah, I'm keen on those two, just around the $10 mark to kick off the day. Just a small each way go because it is wide open. I think Llewellyn's also a decent hope as well.
I like it, mate. That was a nice win there last start by Llewellyn at Kembla Grange. And I think Trez is potentially likely the way I go there as well. Just you can't get wrong with that horse, Barry 2, Rose Hill. Finally third up now. And I think 1400 metres suits that horse better than the 1200. Race three, I like one here. It's 2000 metre benchmark 88. I really like Bear on the Loose for Nashua Willer and Gay Waterhouse. He had a little bit of a freshen up after having 2 1800 meter runs back in June and July. He won the first on a heavy deck, and then you could say he failed second up, but it was an absolute horror show if you go back and watch the race. He was 3 to 4 wide. He was midfield in the running line instead of being up on the speed where he likes to be, but he kept trying. He kept hitting the line. I just thought, well, that was a real genuine effort. They gave him a little freshen up. He returned over the mile behind Floating. I thought he tried really hard. Floating got out the best of him late with a perfect run in transit behind. Second up now, 2,000 metres, Nashua Willer. I reckon he finds the front, and I just reckon he's extremely well placed in a race like this. I know we're taking short odds, but I think he's extremely hard to beat. Did you have any opinion of that race?
I'll probably steer clear, mate. I agree with you. Just three of these are nommed in the cup tomorrow at Port Macquarie, and they're all sort of big chances. So, yeah, I'll probably wait until maybe not FaZe Angels, but I'll probably wait until noms are done, just because that price might really disintegrate. Because then you could have, yeah, two of the decent runners out of it. But in saying that, well, obviously, in Bear on the Loose, I think he's nommed as well. So he might not run, but if he does, then yeah, looks the right race for him, mate. I think very hard to beat.
It's a very good point you made there, actually, because I know what you're saying. The Port Macquarie Cup there, I think there might even be a couple in the Coonamble Cup on Sunday. So there's probably a couple of horses here that have three opportunities or three racetracks that the stables are looking at, and they're obviously trying to get that big dance ticket. And Bear on the Loose and a couple of those other runners are well suited in them races. So That's definitely a race to wait for Saturday morning because there could be five horses in the event, no money about. Race four is an interesting race. One, because you've got a one you're keen on, and two, because there's a Triple J Racing runner in the race, which I'm extremely excited about. But yeah, let us know who you think is going to win the Group Three Gloaming Stakes over 1800 meters. It's for the 3-year-olds, and obviously the first time that many of these horses have seen anywhere near the trip, so it's going to be exciting. Do you like the favorite here?
Yeah, congrats, firstly, mate. Huge achievement. I'm going against the favorite. I actually think that the next four in the market, I'll be keen to back before the favorite. I think Henley has got really good form, tricky draw, but racing well. Tenbury Wells, I was keen on it both starts. It's past two starts, and I've really liked both wins. Both of them over by a length each time. Not a whole lot between that and El Castello when they met, and El Castello got the job done for us the other week. I also didn't mind him fresh when he won at big odds. So I'm a fan of all of these, mate, but I've gone with Dup. I thought he was an absolute moral. It didn't really let down. He had 60 kegs. Market sort of said he wasn't ready, and then second up they backed it like he was gonna win by 5 lengths, and he won by 5 lengths on the heavy, but just never looked like losing. Just made sense. I mean, you go through his perform prior this year, he was 5.5 lengths off Manar with Traffic Warden in that race. He's got some seriously good form lines, and I think now after that confidence boost, you get $14. I just think looking through his old form, mate, he could be a real good chance in this at heavy odds. I'd sort of have him maybe $6, $7, and just think, yeah, his form's class. He really is a class runner, and I know that 5 length win last start he beat up absolutely nothing, but he's going to run a really bold race here at good odds, I think. Oh, sorry, and third behind Storm Boy in the past, so yeah, he's that's a pretty good form line.
Yeah, that horse you talked about, Giovanna, he's a bit of an interesting one because he sort of burst on the scene, and then I don't think he kind of got to where the heights that the stable thought he would in that sort of first preparation. And then now, obviously, as a 3-year-old, he's still a colt. It was a really nice win last start. The only thing that would concern me there is Ziggy Rose came out the other day in town and didn't run, to expectations in a city race. But it's interesting. The two runners here that I think are hardest to beat are similar. And they're both by Dundeal. You mentioned them both, Henline and Giovanna. Dundeal's obviously, bred to get a trip. These horses usually, Dundeal's produced a lot of nice 3-year-old runners that get the 1800 meters. I think Swift Falcon's going to be extremely hard to beat. I think it's a really good addition to the Gloaming Stakes. But in my thoughts are obviously for Duke Calzini. I'm not tipping him up to anyone, but we're obviously really, really excited. We're extremely happy with how he's going. He's had two highway efforts, and those highway efforts, he's up against 17 horses each and every time. So for young horses, 3-year-olds to be racing in big fields like that, it's really, really good experience for him. Look, we think he's going to absolutely eat up 1800 meters. We think that, he's sort of been looking for the ground. He's got the two runs on the board. What I really like about him is we've seen him run on from the rear, and we've also seen him chase the speed the other day and hang on for third 1500 meters. I think he'll land in the running line on the weekend. I honestly think that he's going to run a really big race on Saturday, and I really hope he does for connections. It's a big thrill for us to have a Group Three runner. But look, he's right up against it here, and I think there's some really nice horses, and it's going to be a great race. But I honestly couldn't tip anyone into any runner in this race at the moment. I think the top four or five are even in the market, and then you got horses that could shoot out of the ground like Duke Calzini, Firm Agreement, at big odds. So anyway, I'll be cheering home Duke Calzini, mate, and hopefully we get a result.
Good luck.
Race five, I think this is your best bet of the day, if I've written that down correctly. It's the Roman Consul Stakes, 1200 meters. It's an outstanding race. I'm really interested to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, I look, I'm with K-Mac. I smashed him earlier, so hopefully he's forgiven me, but I'm with him. And look, I think Coleman's just a clear class runner of this race. Erno's Cube has come out, and I just think look, Switzerland has also won at decent odds, but you go through the form of Coleman last prep. We all know him. We know that he wasn't far from Manal, Traffic Warden, Lady of Camelot just missed. I mean, that's the kind of form that's as good as anything right now, I think. So in these kinds of races, Perspiration, I'm absolutely spewing. I tipped it up at 25s. They scratched it and then it ran. And in a similar race at 30s, and they backed it into 10s and it won after missing the start by 2 lengths. So I'm spewing. I missed it. At Canwin, it was a huge win. And Gatsby's is obviously going well. I'm just going to take on Spirit of Wealth. I know its first 2 wins were good. I don't think it beat anything. I mean, you've got, yeah, 2 wins in. The last one coming out of a BM68 versus Coleman, who's handed it up to Lady of Camelot and Manal and Traffic Wardens. So I really think Coleman's a huge price. I think Coleman should be odds on in this, to be honest. Gatsby's is going well and Perspiration's going well, but I'm pretty confident Coleman wins.
I was going through this race just thinking, what do I do here? Because I've been really hot on Gatsby's heels, but it's hard to say that he let me down last start because Perspiration, I think, is proven to be a nice horse now, and the wind was outstanding. But I just thought Gatsby's was going to go on to a bigger and better level this time around. But after his first start win, he seems to hasn't really gone on with it. Switzerland was rough first up, had a poor run, but has trialed nicely since. I think that if you're looking through the field and you want to be dead set genuine and honest with yourself, Coleman's the one that's been outstanding in those two performances, the Moyer and the Manicato. I think that the stable have obviously bring him here to Sydney, knowing that he's flying and knowing that he finds a nice race and gets a good opportunity to win a big race here. But also Perspiration, I could entertain at the 7 and $2.10 here after, you go through his form and look at it a little bit closer. He's absolutely flying, and that last start win was exceptional. So Lloydie will probably ride him similar. I know he missed the kick last start, but he'll still ride him at the rear and just savage the line late, getting each way price. Another one, exciting race, but at the moment I've got to do a little bit more form on many of these races because they're just too close, and I'm sort of just. I think you just need to find those genuine runners that are going to turn up on the day. Race
Yeah,
six.
the one other sorry, one other thing I wanted to say, mate, was the last time that Coleman did run at Rose Hill, he was nosed out by Lady of Camelot. So yeah, I think if we're giving that effort, then he'll beat these. But as you said, Perspiration's probably my Quinella pick, and as you did touch on, form lines prior were superb. I'm so shocked that he went up 30s. Yeah, it makes me feel sick thinking about it.
Oh, absolutely. It was outstanding. And in all honesty, if all these horses turn up and we see their best, we don't know how good Gatsby's could be. Switzerland, early doors form. Prost didn't turn up first up. Coleman is probably the one horse on the board here that really hasn't really had a poor career start and always been up against it in terms of opposition. So he's got another tough test on the weekend, but I'll probably be with Coleman as well, mate. Race six is the listed Tap Craig, 3-year-old set weights and penalties, over 1400 meters, and you like one here, mate. Let us know who it is.
This is a really good race. I can't really rule out any of these in the market, and Ode should get conditions to suit. Snack Bar have been keen on all prepped. It's running really well. It's got form around Perspiration early doors, not far off Lady Shenandoah last start, and not far off Autumn Glow. So, yeah, it's a stacked race. I just thought Just Party was maybe a little over the odds. I don't know. It wasn't far off Lady Shenandoah fresh, so there's probably not a whole lot between it and Snack Bar, as mentioned. But I just think, sorry, that was the same race. So there wasn't much between Just Party and Snack Bar. But if you watched Just Party last start, just never built the revs, got cut out, didn't see daylight. I completely penned the run. I thought its fourth had merit to it. It got along the rails at some point, but it just didn't have time to build the revs. I think it'll improve in this. Maybe more the placing for $2. But yeah, that should run well.
Mate, I'm tempted to do the same, and I was on Just Party on Saturday. I was on a bucks party watching the race on the on a bus on a on a bus, probably on my 10th beer, and I just oh fuck, it's just frustrating. But this is why they've decided to race again this week. Like you said, probably didn't even hit his top gears on the weekend. He's run a nice fourth, and it was out of a nice race. Come here, Barrier Five. I don't mind it, mate. And I think that 1600 back to 1400 meters on the 7 day backup after that. I like the setup. Race seven, I like one here, mate.
Well, there's
It's
no
the
backup, is there? Because he didn't run.
Well, yeah. You can barely call it a backup. You're all right. Race seven, Forklifts Hill Stakes, 900 meters, Group Two. Mate, I'm keen to take on the horses at the top of the market here, and I really like Golden Path. I think that there's a few at the top of the market that are a bit of a risk at the trip. They're really nice horses, but you know, this bloke Golden Path, he's just so genuine. He's 5 wins, 3 places from the 8 career starts. He's a 2-time 2,000 meter winner. He's an 1,800 meter winner. Here he is, rock hard fit. He finds a running line map. Chad Schofield's in form. Last start, he finished third behind Elias, who's a horse that you were pretty keen on for those couple of wins that had. And I think it's you know, been outstanding, this preparation, and also Chael Wolf, who came out and won the Epsom the other day. So I don't think Golden Park could be going any better. Price and Kent know which horses to have here in Sydney, and they've had him here in Sydney this whole preparation. And I just think he's got no concerns with the trip at all. The only negative I do have is that he's never won a race on a firm deck, a rock hard firm deck, and I think Rosehill will be that on the weekend. But I just think he's going too good to have it $6 and $2 a place. And like I said, a couple of horses top of the market, I think have high weights, and potentially the 900 meters isn't for them. But have you got any thoughts there?
Nah, I'm gonna steer clear with this one. Kovalika's D-Day has come about 7 times, so that's for anyone getting lured in there again. I mean, it's always knocking on the door. But yeah, it's D-Day with all capitals for that one. Royal Patronage is probably the one if I had to go with something. But as you said, mate, Golden Path's probably the most consistent of these. I'd love to see Non-Conformist just pull one out of the. Out of the basket because he's got a 50% strike rate to place, and on his day he can certainly pull out a big run. I think that first up effort, third behind Buckaroos, that's pretty good for this. So yeah, I would keep him safe at $12.
100%. Now you like one here. You've told me it's your best value of the day, race eight, the Alan Brown Stakes. Who do you like, mate?
Not Waterford because. Not Waterford. I think, look, honestly, I'm hoping. I just think Samana here is sneaking under the odds because you've got started, sorry, over the odds. Yeah, $3 last start it was against Macarena Amelia's Jewel. But Ron Pryor, mate, it was a length, just a length and a half off Via Sistina and Zoo Gotcha. Last prep, second to Bella Nipotina. If it finds those runs, I think it just wins from barrier one. And none of these would they run second to Bella? You got Jimmy Starr in the market, Gringotts. I just don't think they're. I don't think Jimmy Starr is. Yeah, it's hard to catch. But yeah, I think off those two, mate, the half, sorry, length and a half of Via Sistina and length off Bella Nipotina. If Samana can find that from barrier one, I'm pretty confident that'll win at 14s. Does mix its form a little bit. It is sort of rocks and diamonds these days with Samana, but dry track 1400's got a superb records. Run one at Rosehill. It's made the Quinella 7 out of 10 times over the 1400. Oh, 14's huge, I think.
Well, the interesting thing about Samana is, and mate, I absolutely love Gibbo. You do as well. I know you do, but he's just going through a little bit of a patchy run at the moment. I think I had a look the other day, and he might have been none from his last 90 or something. And I think this last start on Samana, I think he potentially was a little bit asleep with the wheel. Like, he got a little bit far back. They didn't go fast enough up front, and then it ended up being a sprint home. And then she's run fifth out of seven. You know, I think the stewards even might have questioned him about how far back he got. And like I said, I'm not here to pot jockeys. I really like him. He's a really good jockey, but they do get out of form. And I think Samana, they've obviously got the jockey change here. You know, comes out again, 1400 meters, and all of a sudden we get this $14 and $3.75 price about the horse. So I can completely understand what you're saying there, and I thought the same thing. I think there's a number of horses in this race that are, you know, serious value. Terra Mater at 31 and 6. I could back Terra Mater at the 31s. I know a star, great race, even Macarena last start, but drawn off the map. So it's going to be a nice one, but I'm going to do a little bit more form on that race before I talk anyone into it. Caulfield, mate, we'll head down there now. It's a good four. The rail's true. My opinion of that track, I'm just going to play with an open mind. I don't think there's any rain coming on the weekend. I think that we're going to be all right there. Are you thinking the same thing? Fair deck.
Yeah, I think so, mate.
All right. Well, you mentioned this runner being scratched out of one of the big races in Sydney, Erno's Cube. I'm pretty keen to back her in the second race here at the $4.60 at Caulfield, 1200 meter race. I thought she was absolutely outstanding in that first up run with Mark Zahra aboard in the Group Two Silver Shadow. She had the best sectional time of that race, which was outstanding. She went to the T Rose. She got a pretty soft run in transit, I must admit. She probably did get held up there at one stage, but certainly had every opportunity to run better than fifth in a race like that. But it was 1.8 lengths off Autumn Glow and Snow in May. And I just think she's a 1200 meter fresh horse. She goes back to the 1200 meters now. She's 3 weeks between runs. She gets a dry deck. There's a lot of speed in this race. And I can't see anything I don't like about the horse apart from I would have really liked to see. You know, a Bee Shin or a Mark Zahra or a Damien Lane on down there. Johnny Allen's ridden her in her first career
Yeah.
start where she didn't go that great, and his name doesn't really stand out at me at the moment with being one of the informed jocks. But I think she's pretty well placed here in a race that, you know, there's a couple of chances, but I think she gets her chance. Did you have any opinion of that race?
Yeah, I think you're spot on, mate. My only concern, I really like it as well. My only worry was Johnny Allen. I just think sometimes gets asleep at the wheel. He's probably it's been hard match. It's definitely a 460 is very fair. I think it's got the right form lines, that Autumn Glow form, and just the ability. I know you've been keen on it all prep, and it's been outstanding all prep. It looks ready to win. I don't. I look. I like I'm Velvet. It's got the rawness of mooding. Like it doesn't know what it's doing. I don't know if you've seen that viral baby hippo, but that's I'm Velvet. It doesn't know what's going on, but it's got a lot of talent. I think its recent trial was brilliant, but interested to see how the market plays out. I do think Erno's Cube is the one, but yeah, I probably would like a bet, to be honest.
Yep, beautiful, mate. Well, I'm hoping Erno's Cube gets the win third up in the preparation, and I think she is pretty well placed there. You like one in the next race, mate, which is race three. It's over 1200 meters, the Northwood Plume Stakes. Who do you like?
Oh, I've always been a fan of Charmstone. I know that the stable have a huge opinion of it. It's going to be strictly a market watch for me, mate. See where it's at. I know Barrier 14, they might have different races in sights, but oh, it's form last prep. I mean, it beat Skirt the Law first up, who was had huge raps then, and it beat Inhibitions easily, and then it ran length off Militarizing end cap. So if it's anywhere near its best, it'll give this a real shake. Barrier 14, D Lane aboard, 1 out of 1 at Caulfield. Lane is 3 out of 4 aboard. If they back this in, mate, I'm going to be pretty keen.
I like it, mate. I've also been a fan of Charmstone. I was originally looking at the races, you know, maybe let it go around first up at the moment. Spring Carnival probably got bigger things in mind, but you know, like you said, off last preparation, the horse does look really well placed. Mate, I'll just get a couple of comments off you about the big ones, the group ones. Obviously, the Might and Power. You know, we got Mr. Brightside there. It's 2,000 meters, Barrier One. A tissue's the danger. $1.60. All I want to know is, can anyone beat Mr. Brightside, or is he just going to pick up another Group One on the weekend?
Nah, nothing's beating him. As you said, a tissue should run a placing, but I'd be pretty shocked if he lost. I think him and Broadsiding is going to be a very popular multi for the weekend, and I could talk you out of it, to be honest.
Oh, I get really frustrated when I hear people say that Brightside's not a 2,000 meter horse. I mean, he photo finished the Cox Plate, and that's got to be one of the toughest run 2,000 meter races in our country. And just because he's sharp over the mile doesn't mean he's not a 2,000 meter horse. You know, the stars can run both the trips. I think a tissue is the only one that's any sort of sniff of beating Mr. Brightside. And like I said, I think it's a sniff. Barrier One's perfect for the horse. So $1.60, Brightside will be hard to beat. I couldn't entertain that horse losing, really. Race 8, the Caulfield Guineas. That's another 3-year-old Group 1 over the mile. Broadsiding's $1.55. I guess I'll pose you the same question there. Can any of these 3-year-olds beat Broadsiding, or is this just another, you know, another result on the way to probably a Cox Plate?
No, I don't think they can. I think the multi I just said would be really popular, and I think it'll salute. If you want a bit more juice, maybe another will in the last. But yeah, I think that those two are just pretty much unbeatable. I'm broadsiding. To be honest, mate, I haven't really actually caught properly its runs many times. I haven't watched the replay of its runs. I know what it's won, but I need to go back and have a look. I just missed last week. Oh, sorry, the week before. But yeah, from all the raps I'm hearing and from what it's winning, I think it's a bit of a star. I mean, one sort of under hard to beat Barry Nye and J Mac. It's ticked every box. You look through the field. The only one I really like Evaporate. I know I've been keen on it all prep. I've declared it the other day for us on here, but I don't reckon they'll get near it. I think this is a 2 to 3 length win for broadsiding. What do you reckon, mate?
Well, I sort of feel the same way. I think that this horse is so exciting. I feel like what he done last preparation was absolutely outstanding. And then, I've always sort of believed that it's extremely hard to win the Golden Rose. Well, it is. It's very hard to win the Golden Rose first up. Obviously, they had enough fitness in the belt there, and they would have gone into that race confident, as James said. However, if you got a 3-year-old, you're trying to get to a Cox Plate, they're not fully screwed down to win a 1400 meter race first up. And he was good enough just to get there on the line. It would have been perfect sort of lead into this race. I think he's just too good for these over the mile. I mean, there is some nice 3-year-olds here. So, you can talk them up and say it's still a really nice addition to the guineas, but I think he'll come out and win again on the weekend. And then I think he's gonna have the perfect lead up to a Cox Plate where he's gonna carry no weight. And I just think realistically, he could be Animo 2.0 here. The way that he's going, he's showing the same sort of similar traits. So I'm extremely excited about him. Mate, just before we go, as I said, we've got a couple of Triple J racing runners this weekend, which I'm really excited about. I know you're a Tab Highway man. We've got Rajneesh going to the Tab Highway. It's the second race at Rose Hill. It's over the 1500 meters. I think the favourite, there's sort of three or four favourites in the field. He's around the $9 price. He sort of led the Moree Cup and just got pipped on the line. And then Cameron put the one-eyed blinker on him last start there, in the cup there at Dubbo, and sort of just sort of flopped out of the race quite early. But he's bounced out of that. He's feeling really well within himself. He's got barrier three on the weekend at Rose Hill. My opinion is if he finds a lead, I think he's going to run a really nice race, and I could entertain him at the 1x3. And I wish the best of all owners involved in him. He's a horse that has a lot of ability, and he has, you look at his preparation. He's finished fourth in about three or four highways, then ran second in the Moree Cup. He's had one poor start, and he's come up a reasonable price here. Did you have a look at that race at all, mate? I know this is one of the most open highways you'll ever see, so I'm sure that's what you're going to say.
Yeah, it is. I'll steer clear to the keeper there, but I'll send all my wishes, mate, for your runner, and hopefully it gets the chockies. That'd be good.
Beautiful. And we've also got one down at Kembla Grange in race four, a filly called Sunrise. She's had three starts for us since arriving. She was luckless at Hawkesbury first up, then finished third at Hawkesbury. And we took her down to Nowra about a fortnight ago. We thought, she was going to get the job done down there, and she led the entire race and got done right on the line. But she's going really, really well. Jumps out of barrier seven on the weekend. I think she's found an extremely strong race, smashing times in the event. For the Price stable, they've also got Invade and Conquer there. Kerry Parker's got a nice horse, Mar Ali. But we do like this filly, and I think if there are eight runners on the weekend and we are getting an each way price, I think she's going to run us a really big race. I think she's come on from that run down there at Nowra. She's been working on the beach. She had her last track gallop on Monday morning on the soft sand. She absolutely flew. She's feeling really well within herself, and I think she's going to run a big race. So at the moment, 7 and 2. Hopefully, we're getting sort of that $2.30 price for a place on Saturday with no scratchings, but we'll see how we go, mate. Thanks for joining me. I really appreciate it. And as I said, you've hit up a couple of winners there for us on the weekend, hopefully, and we'll touch base again. But cheers, mate. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, mate. Cheers.